Mrs. Debbie Selangat.
Hi, Guten Erev Pesach. There's so much that goes into Pesach, and I want to try to leave you with something that will be relevant and hopefully make your Pesach more enjoyable, both in a logistical sense, how to just enjoy it more, and hopefully in a ruchnia sense. And hopefully, like any Yantif, we'll come out better people in a better place than we went in. Like Rav Dessler says, the year is like a series of train stations, and you go to each Yantif and you pick up something that will help you grow as a person and help you develop. I remember my seminary principal telling us, you know, the world does Thanksgiving and they do New Year's. And we don't do Pesach, we live Pesach and we grow Pesach. And the lessons that are internalized through the Starim and through our own personal learning changes us as people and hopefully stays with us the entire year and impacts our lives the entire year. I'm an assistant principal here in Passaic, and as I go into each and every classroom during this Erev Pesach season and I hear the moros and the emuna and the hashkafa that the kids are getting, and it's magnificent. I hope it's not lost on these yummy, delicious elementary school children. And I really do feel like if they hear it year after year and they hear it from their moros and they hear it from their parents, I'm hoping that it's something that will remain a part of them throughout the year and they'll have this emuna as part of their DNA. And they'll be able to fall back on it. But my topic for today is not really a hashkafa topic in terms of emunah. It's more the Yantif season and how to maximize this time. So preparing for Pesach is tricky because the best resource, honestly, is speaking to people and hearing what works for them and what doesn't work for them. So I compiled some ideas that hopefully you'll find helpful. You know, when we stand back and we think about Pesach approaching, we remember Pesachs in the past, and some of the things that we remember might be beautiful, warm, yummy memories, but then there are hard situations. There are hard situations that we're in, and there are hard situations that the people around us are going to be in, or they're coming together with us for Yantif, and they're really in difficult situations. There's a tremendous intensity to Pesach. Often Pesach takes dynamics that are present all the time and all year, but because of the close quarters that we're in with our families and the amount of time that we spend together, things that are often very much under control or stay under the surface very often comes to the top. Pesach usually lends itself to family time, sometimes a lot of family time, and there is tremendous potential for closeness, for growth, for positively being influenced by the wonderful people around us. And it has tremendous potential for kibud avim. All of those things, though, have pitfalls also. Coming into Yantif, there's a tremendous amount of work, and there's a lot of things that have to get done. But part of the preparations for Pesach can't just be the cleaning and the cooking that I'm sure you're stepping up to the plate to help with. And it can't just be about the shopping and the new clothes and switching from the black tights to the nude stockings. Part of our preparation for Pesach is to include the ability for how am I going to enjoy Yantif. Meaning, it's not necessarily a given. I have to think back, what's great about the coming season? What's difficult about the coming season? What do I need to do in order to make this season work, in order for me to grow? My brother is a director of a Masifta program for boys in a sleepaway camp. And before Tisha B'Av, he always tells these 10th and 11th grade boys that Tisha B'Av is 25 hours long. And before you know it, you'll be sitting down with your onion soup and your bagels. It's going to pass. It's going to be over. Tisha B'Av is a finite amount of time. And he says to them, what are you going to do over the next 25 hours? You can lay in your bed. You could read a magazine. You could sleep all day. Or you can really seize the day. You can learn about what's supposed to be happening. What is this day supposed to teach us? How am I supposed to change from Tisha B'Av, right? Go back to that Rav Dessler. How am I supposed to be different at the end of Tisha B'Av than I was going in? And how can I grow through this? Or I can just make it through Tisha B'Av. And he tells them, that's your choice. Pesach has tremendous opportunity for growth in all the areas that we mentioned, the ruchnias, the family closeness, and we can internalize all that message, all those messages, and we can use the time to grow as a family or grow as an individual, or I can get through it and I can just say, okay, it's going to be over. It's going to be over. In a week, it's going to be over. And before I know it, I'll be back at work or back at school. And everyone will say how it was Yontif. And I'll say, very nice. But let's talk about making it special. And let's talk about planning ahead. Let's talk about anticipating what can be difficult. And let's remember what is difficult. And let's not let ourselves be caught off guard. Over Yontif, you're going to have to wear many hats. You're going to be sisters. You're going to be daughters. You might be granddaughters. You might be sisters-in-law. You might be aunts. And each one of those roles come with expectations. There's a lot of people's needs that you are going to be expected to address. And very often we neglect ourselves because we're so taking care of everybody else. And very often by the time you get to Yontif, you can really be depleted. And depleted is a really hard way to start off Yontif. So I'm asking you to take care of yourselves over the next 2 Yontif. Even as the food in the house gets scarcer and scarcer, and the last few days of Yontif, you're reduced to a cardboard box with some stale rice cakes. You have to figure out a way to take care of yourself and eat proper meals. Get exercise if you need exercise. Get the sleep that you need to sleep, because you are going to fall apart if you're coming into Yontif already falling apart. So let's start with being a daughter for right now. If you're at your parents' house for Pesach, the first thing I want to tell you is remember that you are fortunate to have parents. That's the first thing. Not every situation is simple. There are situations that are extremely complicated. But remember that Baruch Hashem, you have parents. We bought our house about 23 years ago from Holocaust survivors. And we bought our house right before Pesach. And the seller of our house was a lady named Mrs. Finkelstein, who had been in the concentration camps. You could picture her, an older Jewish lady. And I was rushed to finish up the details of buying the house because we were going to Chicago to my parents for Yontif. And when she asked me, what our plans for Pesach were, and I told her that I go to my parents in Chicago, her eyes filled up with tears and she told me words that I'll never forget. She said to me, "We never had parents to go to. Our parents went into the furnaces." And I always remember those words. And I say, you know what? Not everything is always easy. Not everything doesn't come with stress. But l'maisa baruch Hashem, we have parents. And we have to take a step back. And we have to realize that it's a gift. And we can't let ourselves take it for granted. Parents can be a treasure of wisdom. Parents can be a treasure of insight and of mesorah. And sometimes parents, with their unconditional love, we can use that love that they have for us as a boost over Yontif, and we can feel their love. And there might be things that they're showing us love, and we're not feeling the love because we don't want to feel loved that way. But think about just being enveloped in their presence and enveloped in their love. But it can also be a reality check for us in terms of how our parents are doing and ways in which they might need us that they might not ask us, or they might not even be aware of themselves. First of all, depending on how much sleep and how much self-care your mother had over the last couple weeks, that's going to determine how she goes into Yontif. I love how people talk about Pesach vacation. Guess what? If you're making Yontif, it's no vacation, and your mother might come into Yontif quite worn out. And you might think, this is what she's been waiting for. She's been waiting for all the married siblings to come home. She's been waiting for Yontif. Right, but maybe right now she's just too exhausted. We have to be as helpful as we can. We have to offer what we can offer, or just doing by what you see necessary. Some mothers are better at asking for help than others. If you have married siblings coming to us with children, you might see your mother as stressed out and you might feel badly and you might feel like this isn't good for your mother. It's a mixed bag. Mothers love when their married kids come home. They love the grandchildren. They love the chaos. They love the mess. But there's a certain Seder that they've gotten used to maybe without those kids home. And it'll get back to it. But please, as much as we can, try to help her out. Also, your normal routine is going to be very, very disrupted. You might not even have your bedroom. You might not even be able to sleep in your house. Girls tell me, I'm the one that has to sleep by a neighbor. You have to trust your mother that there's a cheshbon. Your mother thought it out, and there's something very important about it. If there's something that you want, you have to say it before Yontif also. If you tell your mother, you know what, really, really, I do need my own bedroom, or really, I need to sleep alone, The time to talk about that is not when everybody's moving in. Speak to your mother and explain that to her. You also have to realize that parents are getting older. Hopefully they're in good health, but they might not be able to do this year what they did last year, and to be sensitive to that. Also, financially, things change. Your parents might have different abilities now to do things than they did last year. And just to be aware of that dynamic. We sort of have to be astute, and we sort of have to plug in, you know, those gaps. Another really tricky thing about Yontif is that sometimes there are unresolved childhood issues that surface over Yontif when you're together with other siblings. Feelings of favoritism, feelings of inadequacy, and very often those feelings can rear their head over Yontif. And when this happens, very often the first thing you think of is, I knew that this would happen. We have to prepare ourselves. We have to prepare ourselves to be strong and to not let these things make us fall apart. Parents' approval can hit us and hurt us at our core. If there's something about you that you feel your parents don't approve of, that can be extremely, extremely painful. And we have to prepare ourselves for it. And it's something that we have to give thought to during Yontif. We have to be able to say to ourselves that our parents are wonderful people. They truly love me. They truly want what's best for me. But very often, even parents who we live with all year round don't see the full picture of what we're going through or who we are. Understand that. Understand that they don't see the full picture. Understand that very often they don't see the full picture because we don't show them the full picture. And there are things that are going on in our lives that we're not talking about or that we're not letting them in on. If we are caught off guard, it is very hard not to get emotional. Make up in your mind, I will not get pulled into drama. I will not get pulled into falling apart. If somebody says an opinion about me, about my clothes, about my hair, about my job, about what I do in my free time, about my wardrobe, about my finances, about my friends, I will not fall apart. I will not fall apart, but you have to prepare yourself for that. Or else, guess what? You're gonna fall apart. There's a perek in Yeshayahu that tells us how to get our tefillos answered. Listen to this. This perek is perek nunches, pasuk tes. Listen to this because it's amazing. And I heard this from Rabbi Fran, so all you Baltimore people will appreciate this even more. There are 14 places in Tanakh where the pasuk says, Hineni, Vayomer Hineni. 13 out of 14 are all in the same context. I'm at your service. Here I am. I'm ready to do what you want. Avraham, Moshe by the Sneh. There are 13 out of 14 places in which people say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hineni, I am here to do whatever you want to do. But there is one exception, and that is this section, this in Yeshayahu. You cry out to me, Hashem says, and I am at your service. What do you want from me? Tell me. So what is that? What's the key to that? How do you get that relationship with Hashem where Hashem is saying to you, tell me what you want and I'll do it? What, like Rabbi Fran says, is the code to the vault? So the Gemara in Yevamos tells us exactly what the code to the vault is. What is it? Should I say Sefer Tehillim? Should I go to the hospital and visit people? So here's the answer. The Gemara in Yevamos says, Umakariv es kerovav alav hakasuv. He says, if you're nice to your relatives, if you're nice to your relatives, because Hashem looks at me as a karov. We are his relatives. And when you're makarev, your relatives, you're bringing Hashem's close. Hashem's relationship with us is like the relationship of relatives. And Hashem is saying, I will treat you as you treat your relatives. If you push away your relatives, you're going to push me away. And the way you treat your relatives, I'll treat you. Meaning, as he says, be nice to the people that you're supposed to be nice to, and I will treat you like that. And that is the secret to having our tefillos answered. Sometimes families create the greatest challenges. Sometimes we can be nice to the whole entire world, but it's so hard to be nice to our own families. And the people that we are the most related to, or the closestly related to, are our siblings. Our DNA is the most similar to our siblings, not our children, believe it or not, because with our children, there's an added DNA from another person. But our siblings are the ones that we are most genetically the closest related to. And not only that, but from everybody, your siblings are the people that you spend the most time with in Olam Hazeh. Parents, Mitzvah Shem, you'll have for 50 or 60 years. And children, Mitzvah Shem, have us for 50 or 60 years. But siblings you can spend 80 to 90 years with. And that's the longest relationship. And therefore, sometimes it's the hardest. The brother of the Maharal wrote a sefer that's called Sefer Achayim. And it says in the Sefer Achayim that it's a good idea for people to be makar of the krovim. And he says, this is what the mitzvah of Achnasas Orchim is about. It's about family. And he says that there was a minig hakadmonim, that every family had a day together. It was not a yantiv, it was not a Shabbos, it was not when there was a chasen in the family. Because then you can't even, it's busy, you can't talk to each other so much. But it was a day of the lemishto lesimcha, a day to just get together and just enjoy ourselves. Families hopefully can enjoy themselves, but there can be glitches and things can go wrong, right? Easy things that are things that are just typical, right? Staying with other people, having people squish into our houses, moving into another house. Could be you go with your parents to somebody else. It's just going to be different. Squishing a lot of people into a bedroom is a lot of fun if you're 6 years old. It's not a lot of fun after 6 years old. For little children, it's the best memories they have. But for adults, it's difficult. And not everybody's so considerate. People scream when other people are sleeping, and people have different schedules, and the kids are up and the kids are sleeping and the house is messy. If you have older siblings coming with children, there might be expectations placed on you of cleaning up after these children or watching these children or babysitting for these children. And you might think, thanks, but no thanks. You might have unmarried siblings younger than you in the house that need a lot of consideration. Their house has been overrun also, and they might need you as an older sister to really like give them time and give them attention, because if they're younger or they're the youngest, their attention is going to be taken away and they might need you very, very much. Plan to listen more than you talk. Dale Carnegie, in his classic book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, which I recommend everyone to read, says you can make more friends in 2 months by becoming interested in other people than you can in 2 years by trying to get other people to listen to you. If you show genuine interest in your relatives, it's surprisingly how great conversations go. Ask them questions about themselves. Do more listening and more questions than talking. Give compliments. And don't interrupt people. Don't try to use the Yamim Tovim as a time to fix other people's problems in the family. You're going to see a lot of things that need fixing. Do not try to use Yantiv as a time to fix those problems. If you think that a family member is not making good decisions or not living up to their potential, if you think they should change something, or if you think intervention is needed, don't use Yantiv as a time to do this. If you want closeness as a family, provide help and advice only if someone asks you for it. Many times people use the Yantiv season as a time to invoke change, and it often leads to avoidance and resentment. You're going to see a lot. Just try to be quiet. Try to bite your tongue. You don't have to be right about everything. You don't have to be right about everything. If you know that there are topics that bring up tension, don't talk about those topics. Which schools people send their kids to, different chumras that people have on Pesach. They might drive you nuts. You might have people sitting at your table with other minhagim. Don't try to understand them. Just appreciate them. Political issues might come up. How people spend their money. What other people feel comfortable exposing their children to. What others don't. What camps people send their kids to. Working. Learning. Babysitting, staying at home, smartphones, not smartphones, technology. Resist the urge to tell other people what to do. You might have a lot of topics on this, but try to withhold your opinion if you can. It's 1 week. We got to try to do this. We've got to try to do this. Try not to take things personally. I always say, If you're walking down the street and a mentally incompetent person said something to you, you would not be insulted. Try to use that same mindset here. Try not to let things hurt your feelings. I want to end now, and I want to wish you a tremendous, tremendous growth over Pesach. I want to wish you a lot of strength over Pesach. Pesach can be hard. Pesach can be beautiful. It can be hard because people very often use Pesach as a time to reevaluate their lives, and that might be difficult right now. If you're waiting for your bashert and you're waiting for the next stage of your life, it might be very, very difficult. But if you use the time for davening, use the time to see good in other people, use the time for your own personal growth, then you'll go into this year, Mitzvah Shem, a better and a stronger person. And I want to wish you a Chag Kosher v'Sameach and a happy Yatif, and enjoy yourselves. Thank you so much for listening.